If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood, everybody. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. What a year 2024 has been. We decided to do two recaps. We could have done probably 12, but we decided to do two that really capture who our top picks of the guests we've had in 2024 have been. Now, these are either people who have been misunderstood, who have been reduced to a headline, or they are people that are like experts who really can talk about a subject that needs to be reconsidered, that might be misunderstood. So we do have somebody that I'm going to bring up shortly that talks about narcissistic abuse, things like that. So we are looking at the gamut of the whole year. It was very hard to narrow this down. I love every single guest that I have. I handpick them and I have them on for a reason. There is always a method behind my madness to why I have someone on and why I want them to tell their own story or to talk about the topic at hand, because it's important to hear from them and give us a chance to learn more. So without further ado, I have about 15, I'm not sure of the exact total, that I've narrowed it to. The genre of this grouping is a lot of people that you may not know their names, but they are very influential. They are influencers. They are people, they are experts that talk about subjects that you want to know about. The biggest, you know, clickbaity subjects that you've seen all year, from AI to narcissistic abuse, like I just said, to what it's like to live the van life. If you look at some of these influencers, they have over 700,000 followers on Instagram alone. So people are watching what they have to say. A lot of these people, I somewhat stalked and figured out a way to get a hold of them to have them do the show. Because again, they weren't represented by anybody. They didn't have a manager. So I had to figure out a way to get to them. Once I got to them, a lot of times it took many months to get this booked. But when I finally did, it was a great episode. I'm so happy to have all of these people on. Okay, the first episode that I want to bring to light for you guys for 2024 that I loved was with a guy named Turtle Boy. So explain to our listeners why you have the name Turtle Boy, please.
So I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts, and there's a statue in downtown Worcester that's kind of like our most famous landmark. For those of you who aren't familiar, Worcester is like, it's like the second biggest city in New England. So it's like a little bootleg Boston. It's just this funny statue that's very Worcester-ish. It's boy who appears to be having sex with a turtle. And if you Google the turtle boy statue, it'll come up, and it looks like he's like having unconsensual sex with this turtle. The turtle appears to be screaming, but he's supposedly, the artist said, he's like releasing the turtle into the wild or riding it. That's why we call my followers turtle riders.
In a world where public opinion often eclipses due process, few stories captured the intersection of media and sensationalism and the justice system quite like that of Karen Reed. Enter Turtle Boy, a guy that, again, I kind of stalked until I got on, I'm very proud to say. He is a journalist and cultural commentator who has fearlessly tackled the intricacies of this controversial case. Known for his investigative tenacity and unflinching dedication to uncovering the truth, Turtle Boy joined us to unpack the details that mainstream media overlooked. His unique insights shed light on the complexities of this case, offering a deeper understanding of the legal and social dynamics at play. In our conversation, Turtle Boy delved into how public narratives can be manipulated and how social media can amplify or distort the truth. His perspective challenged listeners to reconsider their assumptions about the judicial process and the way we consume information about high-profile cases. Whether you followed the Karen Reed trial closely or are encountering it for the first time, Turtle Boy's commentary forces us to confront uncomfortable questions about bias, fairness, and the pursuit of justice. Turtle Boy made no bones about the fact that he believed Karen Reed was innocent, and he broke down on my show the reasons for it. Here's a clip from his episode. You fully believe that Karen Reed is not guilty. I just want to know how you came to that conclusion.
I know Karen Reed is not guilty because I have a brain. There's no possible way you could say with a straight face, if you actually look at the evidence, that Karen Reed's guilty. It's impossible. A child can look at those autopsy photos and say that guy was not hit by a car, as the police claim. You do not have dog bites on your arms, which two experts testified that John O'Keefe did. You do not have a 3-inch laceration in the back of your head if you landed on grass. You do not have two gigantic black eyes. You certainly do not have a complete lack of bruising or broken bones from the nose down in your body if you're hit by a 3-ton vehicle going 24 miles an hour in reverse. And the vehicle would certainly have damage if it hit a body that weighed 217 pounds or was 6 feet 2 inches tall. It is a joke. It is an absolute joke to think that John O'Keefe could possibly have been hit by a car.
When you hear the last name Musk, your mind likely leaps to cutting-edge technology and space exploration. But Kimball Musk brings innovation back down to earth, literally. As a leader in the sustainable food movement, Kimball has reimagined how we think about farming, food access, and community development. During our conversation, he shared his mission to revolutionize agriculture by promoting regenerative practices, building local food systems, and empowering individuals to take control of their diets and health. What was more interesting than all of that stuff is that Kimball Musk got really honest with me. I talked to him about his life before the Musks were famous. He talks about taking road trips with Elon and how they had no money and how they ate ramen and lived on the floor of their first office. It's an episode not to be missed. Here's a clip from the very down-to-earth Kimball Musk.
My brother and I were the first humans to see door-to-door directions and dynamic mapping on the internet. And wow, we released it to the world in 1995. We were sleeping on the floor of our office. We didn't have any money for even a home to stay in. We were just kind of hoping for the best, as any entrepreneur does. Our employees didn't know we were sleeping in the office, so it was like it was a very fun time and very romantic, nostalgic time for us.
2024 was a year where you heard so much about AI. It was all over the place in all shapes and forms. So what happens when creativity meets cutting edge technology? My guest, Taryn Southern, a pioneering artist, filmmaker, and technologist, has made it her mission to explore this very question. Known for her innovative work blending artificial intelligence and the arts, Taryn joined us to discuss the transformative potential of AI in shaping the future of creativity. Whether it's composing music, producing films, or crafting interactive experiences, her projects challenge traditional notions of what it means to be an artist in the digital age. In our conversation, Taryn broke down the opportunities and ethical dilemmas AI presents for creators and consumers alike. Is AI a collaborator, a tool, or a competitor? How can we harness its power while preserving the human touch in arts? Taryn's insights offered a nuanced perspective on these issues, inspiring us to think critically about the evolving relationship between technology and creativity in an increasingly AI-driven world. Listen to a clip from my interview with Taryn Souther.
From an entertainment perspective, I'm really excited about augmented reality and being able to like put on something that allows me to interface with the world in new ways. I'm not a screen person. I actually really dislike having my phone and having a screen and notifications and all of those things. I like just want that off. So I like the idea of being able to put something on, not have a phone, and then, you know, immediately take it off.
Okay, my next guest was somebody that, like I spoke about before, was someone that I really stalked on Instagram until she responded to me. Annie is someone that you might know as Anne's Vans. She has a huge following and she lives a van life, whatever that may mean, right? So I followed her account for a while and had a zillion questions about how this beautiful girl in her early 40s could be traveling around and how could that be possibly safe. And then she added in a dog and a cat. And I just had so many questions, so I knew I had to talk to her. For many, the idea of home is tied to a fixed address, but Annie has redefined what it means to truly live freely. As an advocate for the van life movement, Annie's story is one of adventure, resilience, and intentionality. She traded a conventional lifestyle for one on the road, embracing the joys and challenges of minimalism, mobility, and self-sufficiency. Her experiences offer a window into a growing subculture that questions societal norms about success, stability, and happiness. In our conversation, Annie shared the highs and lows of her nomadic lifestyle, from breathtaking landscapes to the daily logistics of life in a van. Beyond the romanticized images on social media, which are very beautiful, by the way, she painted a realistic picture of what it takes to live this way and the profound lessons it has taught her about adaptability and fulfillment. For anyone curious about van life or considering alternative lifestyles, Annie's story is as informative as it is inspiring. Please enjoy a clip from my interview from Annie about life in a van.
Like, I don't really want to teach people how to be a van lifer. That's not what I want to put out into this world. So how can I be different? And that's when I started sharing my struggles. I started being more real about things. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking like this rich trust fund kid living on the road in a van that was 20 years old, I really wanted to make sure, because I look young, right? So I wanted to make sure people understood my struggles and how I got there. And so I think I was one of the first people to do it, to kind of share my struggles and be more authentic in who I was. You know, sharing that I was in my 30s, late 30s, and about to be 40, and struggling with the thought of what death looked like and how that felt growing older and aging and being single and turning 40 and not being married and not having kids and not having money and not having a home, and like really sharing my struggle. And I think that's when brands started really wanting to work with me, when they saw how authentic I was and how big my engagement was, because I went from having 10 comments on a post to now thousands, right?
My next guest is somebody I found through my 12-year-old daughter and her friends who were basically obsessed with her. Her name is Baylen Dupree, and she is a girl on Instagram and TikTok who suffers from Tourette's syndrome. She has been an advocate for showing what it is like to live with this disease and what it takes to even get through the day. So I started following her. I found her to be so interesting. I had so many questions. And the way I kept writing her on DM. She didn't respond. So I saw that she was on Cameo, and I wanted to, my daughter had been in an accident, and I wanted Baylen to send my daughter a Cameo to tell her to get well soon. And I mentioned in the Cameo that I wanted to book her for my show. She finally responded. She sent the sweetest Cameo to my daughter.
Hi, Wyatt, Lily. My name's Baylen, and I'm thrilled that I am able to send you this video. I hear that you were in an accident and that you broke your foot in three different places, and you currently have six staples in your head. That is scary, and probably whatever accident you got into. I am so happy and grateful that you are obviously alive and you seem to be doing well. You look beautiful. Fuck off, scumbag. Hello. I want to say thank you so much for all the love and support you give towards me. Fuck off, because I wouldn't be here without you, and I love you just as much. She's giving little baby wieners. Sorry. I want to say again that you are so beautiful and amazing, and I absolutely love you. And I am praying and hoping for a fast recovery for you. But again, you look absolutely amazing and beautiful, and you are rocking the pink cast, I may say. It looks very good on you. Pink is always the answer. anyways, I love you so much, Wyatt Lily, and I hope you enjoy my video, and I hope that this makes you feel a little bit better. I know that you probably haven't had it easy since your accident, and I just wanted to say that I love you, and I wish I could sign your cast because it looks so pretty, but I'm praying for a fast recovery for you. I love you. Mwah!
And she sent me her cell phone number, and I was able to book her on the show. So Baylen Dupree is her name. You guys got to check her out. She is more than a social media sensation. She is a beacon of resilience, authenticity, and advocacy of those living with Tourette's syndrome. As someone who shares her experiences with Tourette's unfiltered, unapologetically, Baylen has educated millions about a condition often misunderstood or stigmatized. Her content is a mix of humor, vulnerability, and empowerment, breaking down stereotypes and fostering greater empathy for those with a neurological disorder. In our discussion, Baylen opened up about the challenges and triumphs of navigating life with Tourette's and a boyfriend, from managing tics in public spaces to building a supportive community online. She emphasized the importance of self-acceptance and how humor can be a powerful tool for advocacy. Baylen's story is a testament to the strength found in vulnerability and the transformative power of sharing one's truth with the world. Here's a clip from my episode with Baylen Dupree.
After I was on Dr. Phil, there was an article that WVU, I went to West Virginia University, wrote about me. And my nursing instructor, through Zoom, there were like 120 kids in this Zoom call. She said, Baylen, can you unmute yourself? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I'm going to need to talk to you after class. Is that okay? And I said, yes, ma'am. We wait till after class. And she goes, I read that article. She goes, you got the whole nursing program talking about you. I said, what do you mean? She goes, we've had meetings. She goes, we just don't know how you're going to be a nurse. I said, okay. I said, like every other nursing student. And she was like, well, I have faith in you. I have faith in you. But however, you're going to need to cut the bad words out if you want to be a nurse at WVU.
Let's think back to how you felt 5 or even 10 years ago. Now ask yourself, what if you could age better, not just get older? Renew Youth makes it possible. Renew Youth has been a pioneer in longevity medicine for over 25 years, building lifelong relationships with clients to help them look, feel, and live better as they age. With personalized treatments tailored just for you, Renew Youth offers solutions like hormone replacement for women and men to address symptoms like fatigue, weight gain, and hot flashes. It's easy to get started. After a free consultation with a live expert, you'll review lab work results together and design a personalized plan with a Renew Youth doctor. You administer treatments at home on your schedule, and their team is there every step of the way. For a limited time, my listeners get 50% off your initial lab testing. Visit renewyouth.com/misunderstood today to start your journey to aging better. That's renewyouth.com/misunderstood, spelled MISSUNDERSTOOD, for 50% off your initial lab testing. Some sickness that his dog was going through, and you saw how happy he was when there was a moment that seemed, you know, uplifting, and then how sad he would get when things seemed like they were taking a turn for the worse. After, you know, a week or two of this, I noticed that I didn't see any more updates. So I went on this man's Instagram and found out that the dog had died. And there was a post of him sobbing over this dog, and it made me cry. And it made me realize that I wanted to know more about him. And when I looked into who this man was, he was a man who, he was the 10th man who walked the entire world. I mean, what the hell? And he walked it with this dog. And so this dog had been through everything with him. Of course, I decided I needed to get a hold of him because that is an incredible story. I can hardly walk down to the end of the street without sort of getting bored or, you know, saying, oh, I'd rather be home sipping a rosé and reading a gossip magazine or something. I mean, it just made me feel so small. Honestly, like the things that people do that are so powerful and make such an impact on life, I just needed to know more. So I finally got a hold of Tom Turchich, and he said he would do it. And I was so honored, and I was so thankful. He has a book coming out called Walking the World, A Journey of Discovery. So let me give you a little insight, a little more into him. Here's what I kept thinking. What compels someone to leave the comforts of home and embark on a walk around the world? For Tom Turchich, it was more than a thirst for adventure. It was a quest for connection, reflection, and purpose. As one of the few people to have completed this extraordinary feat, Tom joined us to share the life-altering experiences and lessons he gained along the way. From challenges to traversing unfamiliar terrains to the friendships forged across continents, Tom's journey is as much about inner transformation as it is about physical endurance. In our conversation, Tom opened up about the moments of joy, solitude, his struggle that shaped his journey. He highlighted the universal humanity he encountered and the people he met, showing how travel can break down the barriers and foster understanding. Whether you're an adventurer at heart or someone seeking some inspiration to take a bold leap in life, Tom's story is a testament to the power of perseverance and the beauty of the human spirit. Here's a clip from my interview with Tom. I know you've been to so many places where people don't love animals as much as we do, per se. Was there any times that you were nervous about her getting hurt or in trouble?
I would say North Africa maybe was a more challenging one. Central and South America, just because there's more strays and the strays are a little more beat up and they're not treated with love, really. So then they become territorial and a little aggressive. So the first 2 years, Savannah and me definitely kind of were living on edge a lot of the time, where, you know, this dog would come out barking and we kind of had to learn to defend ourselves against these other dogs. And I never really like feared for Savannah, you know, dying from that. But she wasn't like a big fan of dogs after the first 2 years. And it took us being home for a while and going to the dog park while her paperwork for Europe was waiting for her to like, oh, like not all dogs are just out to like get me and relax a little bit.
In an age of constant noise, be it social media, 24/7 news cycles, or the endless stream of opinions, George Perez's book, Shut the Fuck Up, offers a provocative and refreshing perspective. George challenges us to reconsider the value of silence, introspection, and restraint in a world where speaking up often feels like an obligation. Far from advocating passivity, his book explores how deliberate silence can empower us to communicate more effectively, foster deeper relationships, and live with greater self-awareness. During our conversation, George unpacked the core concepts of his book, emphasizing the difference between reactive communication and intentional dialogue. His shared actionable strategies for harnessing silence as a tool for personal and professional growth illustrate how less can often be more. Whether you're someone who struggles with overthinking, conflict resolution, or simply the noise of everyday life, George's insights offer a transformative framework for navigating it all with grace and mindfulness. George is somebody that I met very early on in my life. He's been in my life ever since. I love him. I adore him. I was happy to have him on to talk about his book. You are going to love this next clip with my friend, George Perez.
Gossip has become the norm, but how do you shut the f*** up?
I think the best way to teach anything is just be the work. Being the shut the f*** up police, it doesn't really work. Two people are having a gossip marathon about somebody and you don't have to join. Studies are showing that people are living 70% of their lives in fight or flight. It's like you're in LA and you're driving to Las Vegas on second gear the whole time. This is not sustainable for the human body.
The 10 commandments of shut the f*** up.
Commandment number one is, if you're going to talk shit about someone, don't use their name. Use my friend. Keep anonymity.
Chaos. It's part of the process. This isn't just going to happen overnight. Lives are chaotic. What are your thoughts on chaos?
Chaos is part of the process. How can we narrate chaos in a way that it's a lot more gentler for us?
I love all the things that you're bringing on. They're awesome.
In an industry often criticized for superficiality and unattainable standards, Caroline Bodino stands out as a voice of authenticity and relatability.
You never take this off. This is on all the time.
I sleep with it. We have sex in it. You know what I mean? Like this isn't coming off for any reason unless I have 2 hours to myself to just take it off.
And you keep adding to it? Is that?
I do. I'm like, Mr. T, my neck's getting heavier. I will remove some pieces and like add some, but it is pretty big stack at all times. Like, look at this. It's psychotic. Like I've lost my mind, but I decided that when I'm dead, I'm not taking it with me. So I kind of want to enjoy it while I have it. And I think a lot of us just keep everything hidden away in our treasure boxes. And then they wait for a special occasion. And I honestly think you're the special occasion. I think you waking up every day literally is a special occasion. So why wouldn't you dress up for it?
As a successful influencer, Caroline has built a brand that goes beyond aesthetics, focusing on empowering her audience with real stories and practical advice. From motherhood to self-care to navigating the ever-changing landscape of social media, Caroline's journey is a masterclass in balancing vulnerability with professionalism in the digital age. In our conversation, Caroline pulled back the curtain on the world of influencers, sharing the hard work, strategy, and intention behind the glamorous facade. She discussed the challenges of staying true to oneself in an environment that often prioritizes trends and algorithms. Caroline's story is an inspiration for anyone looking to find their voice in a crowded online space, proving that authenticity is the key to building meaningful connections and a lasting impact. You may know Caroline from her Instagram handle. It's Shop with Caroline. She is such an interesting character. Again, another person that I found by following her and loving the stuff that she had and promoted on her site, not only the clothes, but her attitude. And I wrote her until finally somebody on her team wrote me back. They booked her and we had the best episode. I loved getting to know the person behind, you know, this Instagram facade. So it was a really great episode. Here is a great clip from my conversation with Caroline.
Every time I post, I'd be like, what's the link? Or what are you wearing? I would start linking it. I thought, okay, I'll take one picture in the mirror. I felt like an idiot. Trust me when I say, when I started this, the moms at school would make fun of me all the time. Like I heard so much shit talking about
me.
I think they were like,
who do you think you are? Like, oh, you taking a picture of yourself? Like, how cute, your little Instagram.
Or the husband would be like,
why is she talking about her life? Like, that's so weird.
I heard so much backlash. I'm going to use this as fuel. That's how I honestly said, I was like, I'm going to use all of this shit you guys are talking and I'm going to let it fuel me. And I was like, I'm going to fucking keep going. I'm going to make this happen. And it's the last thing I do. I was like, I'm going to prove myself right. And I'm going to prove you all wrong. So I was like, I stayed consistent no matter. I would go to the front of the school, Rachel, and they would all be in a circle whispering, gossiping. And I would pass them, go to the front of the school, facing them on my phone. I would take pictures just to piss them off, like just to annoy them.
The influence of social media on teenagers is a hotly debated topic, and Tanner Clark is at the forefront of this critical conversation. As a speaker and advocate for teen mental health, Tanner has dedicated his career to helping young people navigate the pressures of the digital age. From the curated perfection of Instagram to the addictive algorithms of TikTok, Tanner's insights shed light on how social media impacts teens' self-esteem, relationships, and overall well-being. I loved having Tanner on. Again, I found Tanner because I was deep in looking through my daughter's Instagram and found that she had listened to him. Once I saw all the stuff that he was talking about how to get off your phone, about how to engage more with people, I realized he spoke to parents, not just children. And he taught us how to interact with our children better because they tend to not listen to us, but they listen to everybody else. In our discussion, Tanner didn't just highlight the problems. He offered actionable solutions for both teens and their parents. He shared strategies for fostering healthy habits, setting boundaries, and finding a balance between online and offline life. Tanner's perspective is a much needed guide for anyone looking to understand the unique challenges facing today's teens and empower them to thrive in an increasingly digital world. Please enjoy my next clip from speaking with Tanner Clark. What would be the three most important things that you think teenagers need to know?
Yeah, I think the first is they need to recognize how incredible they are. In a world that can be really heavy, in a world that there's a lot going on, don't lose sight of how far you've come and how incredible you are. So that's the first thing. The second thing is embrace their beauty and their self-worth. I think that too many teenagers are giving that power of their value away to other people. They're giving it away to their friends. They're giving it away to influencers online. They're giving it away to so many different outside entities that they forget that their self-worth cannot be determined by anybody else, and particularly not by a like, a share, or a view on social media. There's, it just doesn't come from that. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is that they just have to stop letting social media and their smartphones steal their happiness, and that they have the power to walk away from it in any given moment.
So if you listen to my podcast, you know that I love dogs. I have three of my own. So anytime I find somebody, an influencer that talks about rescuing animals, I stop and I look at what their feed is all about. That's where I found my next guest, Zach Scow. His journey is a powerful testament to the transformative power of second chances. After battling his own addiction and facing a terminal diagnosis, Zach found a lifeline in his dogs, inspired by their unconditional love and support. support, he founded Marley's Mutts, an organization dedicated to rescuing dogs and helping people through canine rehabilitation programs. At the heart of his work is Positive Change, a groundbreaking initiative that pairs rescue dogs with incarcerated individuals, offering healing and hope to both. This is one of my favorite foundations. I follow them. I do everything I can to spread the word about them. It's so important. These are two people, things that have been misunderstood and forgotten. The animals that are all on the euthanasia list that are deemed as having behavioral problems, and people that have been thrown in prison for very long sentences. During our conversation, Zach shared the deeply personal story behind his work and the life-changing impact of his programs. He talked about how the bond between humans and animals can foster empathy, build confidence, and create a path to redemption. Zach's story is a reminder that even in our darkest moments, the love and loyalty of animals can help us find the strength to rebuild our lives and help others do the same. Here's a clip from my conversation with Zach Scow.
But I had multiple women message me in the same week saying, you know, I see that you have these issues with dogs. Why don't you just connect with Lee and he'll help you? And I'm like, ma'am, you know, he's one guy doing an incredible job to leverage his platform and everything else for good. But we have tens of thousands of dogs being in this state. It's not something Lee Asher can bring into his backyard or into his, you know, this is a huge fundamental problem. And people don't know that. They're checked out as to the scope of what we're dealing with. The scope is massive. We're talking about a billion animals in America every year. A million.
And people, you know, are watching on their feeds, right, about what someone like you or someone like Lee is doing, or even Dave Portnoy, and they don't actually realize that just by even fostering a dog, not making a long-term commitment, that they can do so much good. After meeting Zach and becoming friendly with him, I asked him if he had anybody he could give me that I could talk to that had actually been in prison, used the program, and is now out of prison, and I could talk to them about the impacts. He did not skip a beat. He immediately said, you have to speak with Newt Vo. He is a guy that has a great story. You're going to love him. He gave me his phone number. I called him that day, and I was in the car driving, and I don't know, my car ride was only 15 minutes. I must have spoken to Newt for about 45 minutes. I ended up pulling over, and I was sobbing listening to his story. I knew I had to bring that story to you guys, and I'm actually going to, I know we've just talked about Zach and what Positive Change is, but I want to bring you a clip of somebody who actually went through it.
They gave me a Chihuahua nicknamed Prada. She was on the news. It's a major hoarding case, that local place near the prison. They have to transport her with smitten because she
had behavioral problems.
Yeah, she'll bite anyone, but she don't trust people. And so they brought her in and it's like, here's your dog. She was in a crate. Basically, if you stick your hand in there, she'll bite you. And so I had to learn a lot of patience and just, you know, really sit there and wait. She starved for 4 days, not eating. Just because of how feral she is. Like, no one would come near her. I waited, and eventually she came out.
You were probably just as scared as she was.
I think that's why they paired me up with her.
And then you got to the point where you could pet her and
she wouldn't leave me at all. Then she developed an attachment. I would walk around and sometimes step on her because she just at my heel. They told her these dogs are, they came in from high Q shelter. This is their last chance.
Newt Vo's story is nothing short of extraordinary. As a Filipino man who was sentenced to life in prison, with no option for parole, he faced unimaginable challenges behind bars. But through Positive Change, a program that pairs incarcerated individuals with rescue dogs, he found a renewed sense of purpose and a path to redemption. Today, Newt teaches this transformative program using his experience to inspire others and advocate for the power of rehabilitation. In our discussion, Newt shared how working with dogs helped him heal both emotionally and spiritually during one of the darkest periods of his life. He described the profound lessons in trust, patience, and unconditional love that the dogs taught him, as well as how the program is breaking cycles of violence and despair within prison walls. Newt's journey from incarceration to empowerment is a powerful reminder that with the right opportunities and support, anyone can find redemption and purpose. Here's a clip from my conversation with Newt Vo.
In my experience working with dogs, a lot of dogs that are considered bad dog or behavior dog that they put down is just simply dog being themselves. That is their instinctual nature. If they feel uncomfortable, they'll growl. And for us to expect them to do otherwise, we're just imposing our will over them. And we say, yeah, this is the way things should be. And it is. I mean, they live among us, so they have to conform. Because I understand the challenge of conformity, like how hard it is for them to conform. Mm-hmm. When they conform, they kind of have to give up a part of themselves. A lot of them are misunderstood because I feel like if you make so much demand of the dog and you don't show them enough affection or guidance, you don't play like a maternal or a fraternal role with the dog in a way. A lot of those behavior is very superficial. They'll do it because our fear or our whatever reason it is. But true conformity or true transformation from the dog, they connect it to you. They want to make you happy. Okay, if I'm going against my nature to make you happy. That's a big ask.
Everybody uses the word narcissism. You hear it everywhere. It's all over the place. I wanted to get to the bottom of it, and I found an amazing guy online who had over 1 million followers on his YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and he was pretty good looking. So it wasn't hard to, you know, go down the rabbit hole of following what he had to say. But I found it interesting that a man had been through a narcissistic abusive situation with a woman, and it had such an impact on him that that's what he makes his life mission, to make people aware of what narcissistic abuse really is. Richard Grannon is a passionate advocate for survivors of narcissistic abuse, a form of emotional and psychological manipulation often misunderstood or overlooked. Drawing from both professional expertise and personal experiences, Richard has dedicated his work to raising awareness about the insidious nature of narcissistic relationships, whether it's identifying covert patterns of control or navigating the path to recovery. His insights provide a lifeline to those trapped in toxic dynamics. In our conversation, Richard broke down the subtle yet devastating impact of narcissistic abuse, from eroded self-esteem to the long-term psychological scars it leaves behind. He also offered practical advice for recognizing red flags, setting boundaries, and reclaiming one's identity after leaving an abusive relationship. Richard's message is one of empowerment and resilience, reminding survivors that healing is not only possible, but a journey worth pursuing. So here is an excerpt from my conversation with Richard Grannon.
There can be no love without vulnerability, and there can be no vulnerability without safety. Make your partner feel safe. You want to make them jealous. You want to wind them up. You want to frighten them with other potential partners. Good luck. Good luck. You deserve to be single. You have to create safety.
And lastly, I bring you an excerpt from my conversation with Riley Tejak. Riley Tejak is the epitome of resilience and determination. As a Marine and Olympic hopeful, Riley's journey is a remarkable fusion of military discipline and athletic ambition. Her story is one of overcoming obstacles, pushing the limits, and striving for excellence at every facet of life. Riley's commitment to hard work and perseverance is truly inspiring. In our discussion, Riley opened up about the lessons she's learned from both the battlefield and the athletic field, highlighting the mental and physical toughness required for each. She also spoke about the unique challenges of balancing two demanding worlds and how her military background has shaped her approach to competition. Riley's story is a testament to the power of grit, reminding us all that with dedication and passion, even the loftiest of dreams can become a reality. She joined us from a secret location in the Middle East to have an amazing conversation, to hear her background, how she got into the military, and how she is pursuing her dream of being on the Olympic bobsledding team. I absolutely fell in love with Riley. I know you will too. Here's an excerpt from my conversation with Riley Tejak.
Teams for the Olympics, how do they get funding? Team USA athletes are not funded by our government. Every other nation is funded and they're like paid employees from our government. The United States is completely privately self-funded. Majority of us athletes have to self-fund our whole journey. Last season cost me around $50,000. The sleds are expensive. You have to ship them from the United States to Europe and back. You stay in the most expensive ski resorts like St. Moritz, Switzerland, or the Austrian or French Alps. So being a Marine, a lot of my salary, I put a little bit of it to the side to be able to do that. And then I've had to rely heavily on sponsorships. Us athletes have had to be so desperate that we've had to make GoFundMes and ask friends and family to be able to support us to get our foot in the door. Team USA has the money and resources, but not all the time and not for everybody. Not everyone's USA Gymnastics and swimming, right? That has all the money.
Thank you so much for listening. We have appreciated all of your attention this entire year. We hope you stick around for next year. We have so many good episodes coming out, so many new people to talk to. If you ever have a suggestion of somebody you think is misunderstood, please DM us. Please contact us. We would love to hear your thoughts. Always go and leave a review. Give us 5 stars. That helps us in the algorithm of rising the charts. Please tell your friends about us. And I hope that you had a great year. And I hope that 2025 brings you all the love and joy and prosperity that you hope for yourself. Mwah.
you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.